This will be on the day of Christ. The second point, we're all called to grow into a united Christ-like community. And the third point, we're all called to grow up. Now, last week we noticed that 98% of Christians spend 50% of their time and more in the world. And we found that these word gifts equip us to live in this world. These word gifts equip us to be missionaries, really in our workplaces and in our homes and in our neighbourhoods. But if you look closely at verses 12 and 13, you'll see the focus is not the world, it's actually the church. It certainly includes the world, but the main focus is the church. Verse 12 is talking about edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13 is speaking of gifts that promote growth and unity in the church. But Paul wants to emphasize this need of word gifts and this use, if you like, by God of word gifts to build up his church so much. He wants us to get it in our head. And so now he shifts his whole argument in verse 14. He moves from the positive and he goes to the negative. In the positive, he has already told us how the word gifts will help us, how they will promote growth. And now he moves to the negative and he teaches us what it will prevent, what dangers we will avoid. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And if you think Paul has overemphasized the positive, if you think I've banged on about the positive too much, notice how he bangs on about the negative. He gives you four illustrations in one sentence. The first illustration is a child that does not grow, like little photos of Isaiah this morning. He gives you a picture of a boat on stormy seas. He gives you a picture of a magician who's using optical illusion to trick you. And then he gives you a picture of a hunter who's setting a trap to catch his dinner. And I'm only going to look at the first picture this morning and we'll come to the rest later and then we'll wrap up. But this is the picture that Peter uses. This is the picture that we read at the beginning of the service. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see, you're newborn babes, feeding on the milk of the word, word gifts, that you may grow. And you might think that this is speaking about a Christian on their own. But he's only just making the point at this point that it's necessary for a baby to grow. And it's just as necessary for a Christian to grow. But where do they grow? Well, look at the next verse. He says, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, it only happens in the context of a church. You grow up in the church. And folks, at this point in time, we've got to be honest when we're talking about children growing up. It's true of our kids. You feed them milk and they grow up. But we have to be honest about our generation. It seems like our generation just doesn't grow up. We just become more and more like children. If you look at our society, you see the effects of it. Children education is going downwards, work productivity is worse, cost of living is deteriorating, morality is going downhill, you name it. Last week, and blame John Bradshaw for this, but last week he came and asked me a question, and the question he asked me was, why is it that we do not discuss things anymore? And then he went on and he said, have you ever wondered, why don't we just present facts and arguments? And even if we disagree, use logic or facts to find a way to resolve our different opinions. And it got me thinking all week. And sure enough, if you think about something all week, you're going to find a way to bring it into the sermon. But I think it's because we're childish. We do not grow up. Have you noticed, for instance, how childish we are as a society? Now, you're going to agree or disagree with me, and I'm going to upset a whole bunch of you even more now, but I'm not trying to argue about a point here. I want to show you just how childish we are. How we don't present facts. How we don't argue from logic. And I'll just give you three examples. Where if you, for instance, try to have a discussion, you'll find that any opposing voice is censored. Any facts are buried. Any science is ignored. And all we do is replace it with this groupthink without any kind of rational discussion. In our history, we've had the approval of same-sex marriage, for instance. We agreed to same-sex marriage so easily when if you go back 10 years before that and you did an invisible poll, we would have all disagreed. I'm talking about all of society, quite frankly. We've got politicians who are so much in favour of same-sex, you go back and you can find quotes of them telling you that they totally disagreed with it. And yet it was all decided by a simple slogan, love is love. I don't know what that means. I cannot think of anything more childish. We did not debate the unnatural aspects of homosexuality. We did not debate anything about the health or the disease impacts of homosexuality. We did not debate the impacts on our families of homosexuality. And we did not even consider that there could be trends. For instance, if we keep pushing this, we'll then have transgender movements, and even that's beyond science. We actually now can't define what a woman is. We can't work out whether a man can have a womb and a baby or not. I think this is so childish. And if you talk against it with any science, with any facts, you're homophobic. That's all we get told. You're homophobic. I don't know if you picked up the discussion around climate change. Climate change used to be global warming. Now it's climate change. A few weeks ago we got told it was global boiling. And so now we must stop using any fossil fuels. I don't know how any of you would have come to church if you stopped using fossil fuels. We must shut down all our fertilizer plants. And I don't know where that's going to lead us. We must get rid of our cars, our aeroplanes, our gas stoves and ovens. We must stop eating meat. Ireland has started killing cows for no reason. And then plastic has to stop because plastic is more evil than a Muslim terrorist. And the list goes on. But we have no studies that confirm global boiling, whatever that is. We have plenty of scientists that try to disagree, but they're silenced. You never hear about them. The barrier reef grows. Long-term climate trends show the world is cooling, if anything. Islands are growing. But everyone agrees with this childish statement that we're in climate boiling. Even our news, I think at least four channels reported, it's climate boiling. And then my favourite one is The Voice. We have no legislation, we have no detail. We're told it's a small change that will close the gap. And then all of us have just been herded in to give these traditional welcomes everywhere we go. If you fly on a plane, you get a ticket. When you're buying your ticket, it's to Adelaide. When you get on the plane, it's another name altogether. You don't know, am I getting to Adelaide or am I going somewhere else? And then they give you this traditional welcome to the land. I don't know who came up with the words. I don't think the Aboriginals did. I don't think the forefathers did. And then we're to acknowledge the past owners as if the past owners actually wake up and say, thank you very much, I actually heard your acknowledgement. But if you disagree with The Voice, you're a racist. That's childish, folks. And you might think I'm desperate for a rant, and if you know me, I probably am. But I'm trying to show you an answer to John's question. We're childish. We don't discuss things. We don't debate things. You see, you might be thinking I'm blaming the world for our problems. I'm not even saying that. I'm blaming the church. I'm telling you, we were the ones who started this. Childish thinking first started in the church, and it rampantly progressed into the world. And now we see the decay and the deterioration, and we sort of think it's their fault and their problem. But go to our churches and see how many churches fly rainbow colour flags. Go and see across the land how many of our churches support all of these causes without thought. Go to your Christian school and speak to your young Christian teachers, and they teach this guff as if it's gospel. Stott says this. He says, you do not blame the meat for going rotten. This is exactly what meat should do. It should get rotten. You blame the salt for not being salty and not being there to preserve it. Folks, we need to grow up as a church. We have lost our saltiness. And it's the word gifts. It's the preaching of the word that will help you, as verse 15 says, as we speak the truth in love, we will grow up in all things into him who is head, Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the word of God. We thank you again that you have given this word and a Bible to us. We thank you that it is without error. And we thank you that we even have had the privilege of having it read and discussed and taught this morning. And we ask again for great mercy. And we ask for a great work of your Spirit amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let us sing. And this is a brand new